Good morning. The Wednesday edition of Dr. Brastat starts right here, right now on your Voice of Barbados. You're listening to us on 92.9 FM or on VOB929.com. Tune in or whatever device you may be using. But this is Voice of Barbados on across the Starcom network. I'm your host and moderator, Corey Lane. We go until 2 p.m., backed by the competent producer and technical operator, Dennis DJ Johnson. He'll be with us until 2 p.m. as well. Stay with us as we join for the regional roundup, just as we head towards midday. And of course, the 12:30 latest, 12:30 p.m., just afternoon. Now, I have a couple of comments, of course, what is happening in Barbados and where I believe we are heading. And of course, we are going to hear from a few key persons who want to share their views early this morning. And then we get to who really is the, I would say, the important part of today's program, which is you, the listeners, you, the callers, who will call to share your views on this, the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. But a lot is on my heart. Obviously, as many of you have reached out, asking your questions and sharing your concerns. So I feel it almost duty bound, heavy on my chest, heavy on my shoulder to share my comments after listening. And the debate has been changed a bit due to the press conference we had from the Prime Minister last night. But nonetheless, many of the sentiments, concerns remain the same. The debate of whether to shut or not to shut. I love the new terminology from a psychological perspective in relation to pausing. I would a reset and a pause from coming out of yesterday's show and yesterday's press conference. That is something that I can support. To blame or not to blame. Who to blame? The government? The citizens? The tourists? My people. I've always said, and I will continue to say, in all things, let there be moderation. And what we need at this time is cool heads and calm corrective measures, which from today's program, we will get your views as citizens if you believe that we are on that corrective path. The late Prime Minister had, don't panic. The present PM says, breathe. CBC had time to reason, time to sing. It's badness that had time to reason. But I believe it is time to reason. Some asked about the early protocols for the shutdown back in May and June. The things that would have triggered a shutdown, like what we are heading towards, or a pause, which is the better terminology, 20 cases per day, community spread, et cetera, et cetera. I could have checked. But it was just my mind, my common sense telling me the reason that we weren't following those early protocols is simply because we would have learned a lot about this virus and this pandemic over the last 6 months, I would like to think. A lot asks, where does the buck stop? But there's no question about it. The buck stops with the government and ultimately the Prime Minister, especially in the Westminster system and especially in our Caribbean democracies. The buck stops with the Prime Minister. There's no other way or other place that the buck stops. As hard and as good a job the government has done with many, many aspects of the pandemic, the reality is that for me, the quarantine protocol has been the biggest failure. Because when you look at our entry protocols and our other protocols, the testing protocols, all of them seem to be, you know, satisfactory and be beyond par. But the quarantine policy, the quarantine protocol for me is where it would have fallen because we trusted human nature to do the right thing. Never. I'm not a pessimist, but never, ever do that. Let me explain what I mean. When you think about a pandemic versus human nature, right now, pandemic going 6-0. Pandemic will eat human nature for breakfast every single time because humans do what humans do. The whole idea of the shutdown for a little while is something that always concerned me because when you shut down for a little while, what do you do after? Do you open back? Do you open up? But then would the same thing happen? My thing is that we do need a reset. And when we reopen, so to speak, I believe that the or if we, when we press play again from this pause, we must have all the protocols, especially the quarantine protocol, in place. Because if anybody just believe in a shutdown first, because the shutdown is what makes it safe, we would have to shut down until COVID is over. Unless whenever we open, according to you, the same thing will happen again and again. I know the concerns about the shutdown in relation to people may starve, people may this, people may that. My thing is that we need to understand that it is what we do when we are open and not the fact that we're open. That's my opinion. It is the debate, lives versus livelihoods. And this is not the economy versus society debate, because they cannot be separated. You cannot separate sugar from a tamarind ball. You have a ball of tamarind, not a tamarind ball. The economy and the society must go together, because without the finances, all of the social fabric, all the different things that you're calling the society will crumble and fall apart. What I am saying is correct. Just look in your rearview mirror and you will see exactly what I mean. If you hear nothing else I say in this opening, I want you to hear this. This is a pandemic, people. Stop looking for normal. There's no normal. I listen to people, a lot of people call me and say, man, we can't do this and we won't do that. You're looking for normal in a 100-year pandemic. Stop it. For me, the whole thing, and as a wrap-up, we look at the B versus D versus some independence. And as sitting in this chair, and as sitting where you sit as a listener during the week, my question always is, who are the persons commenting because they truly love Barbados? Because they are concerned citizens? Or they believe it is time to score cheap political points? I sat in this chair and I listened to people talk about the sewage situation. And you would have to ask, these people really care about the South Coast? These people really care about tourism and hence Barbados economy and Barbados? Or are these people trying to score cheap political points? Same thing with the early recession. The worst recession in 100 years. Early in the recession, they had people trying to score cheap political points. Later in the recession, we saw what it was because we were able to compare and contrast what was happening across the region. But early in the pandemic, early in the recession, same thing. Now, we're in a deadly pandemic. And of course, I put an asterisk by deadly because we know that we have 2% mortality and we know how that story goes. We look when people talk about the recovery and stuff. For me, I don't want to make myself into an idiot to say, look, we in this together. But the reality is that we in this together. There's no us and them with this right now. That's the truth. We are all in this together. And this is where democracy, a strong democracy, must play a part. And that is why I am proud to be part of a program like this, which allows you, the ordinary citizen, to air your views and suggestions. One of the concerns people raised with me up to last night was that, you know, sometimes they don't feel like they're the ones consulting. There's a set of people that are always consulting. I share the same thing too, trust me. As a citizen, you want your voice to be heard, and that is what Down to Brass Tacks must be about. Not being hijacked for a person's personal and political gamemanship, but the ability for democracy, not that 5-second democracy every 5 years when you go to vote, but when things affect you, that you can cry out in a forum where those in authority can hear. Your voice, your vote, decision. That is what democracy must be about. I hear about crop over and bars and so on. Listen, when they get dead, you can imagine. I agree that not having a festival for the second year would be catastrophic for the industry and for the festival. But if we had a crop over, picture if we had a crop over right now, it would be catastrophic for all of us, for the entire country. For me, I need for people to understand this is a pandemic. And we need to focus on our needs, food, clothing, and shelter. I don't know how the clothing get in there. I don't know how that's a necessity. I'm really all big on the clothes thing. But food and shelter, for sure. And in all of this, never waste a good crisis. My thing is, we must consider our financial and physical health. We will never look at this, or we must never look at this the same again. Coming out of this, our financial literacy, our ability to save and build wealth must be underscored, and our ability to protect our physical wealth. Now, those are my comments for today. And I would like to hear yours. And before we even hear yours, we're going to hear from some of the practitioners, some of the people more learned and apt to speak on pandemics. So we are going to hear from the president of the Barbados Association of Medical Practitioners, Dr. Linda Williams. She would have spoken to David Ellis earlier today. And we will hear from her right now.
First of all, we're very glad to hear that mandatory mask wearing is going to be legislated with exceptions for medical conditions. This is something that we have touted for many, many months as being very important to breaking the cycle of transmission. And we welcome it, and we hope that Barbadians and tourists and everyone in country will understand why this is an essential step, because it is extremely necessary to prevent the community transmission that we're experiencing now from advancing. The other thing that we are glad to hear is that although the numbers of tourists have slowed considerably because in our source markets they have much tighter restrictions, we welcome the fact that we are now going to move to testing people on arrival with a rapid test and a minimum five-day period of quarantine, and then followed by a second PCR test. As you would know, David, this is something that we had espoused for a long time. We recognized that it would have an impact on tourism, but we maintained that that was following the science, and that we needed to focus on the long stay tourism more than short stay because of the risks, particularly in the light of the presence of this new UK variant and other variants which are highly transmissible. We are thankful that the UK variant has been identified here. We had suspected for some time that that was the case, and because of this, the rates of transmission, the amount of people that can be infected from from one single case, are going to be higher. Now, I've heard a lot of people walking around saying, well, that doesn't mean that it's more deadly. But if you have more people infected, you have more risk of people becoming very ill, and you have higher numbers of very sick people, which can overwhelm our healthcare systems. I want Barbadians to pay attention to what is happening in the wider world and how they got into the positions that they're in, and to understand that we can find ourselves in the same position if we do nothing. And that is why we welcome the lockdown measures. You know, nobody wants to be in a position where you have to lock down a country, where you have to stop economic activity to some extent. But we recognize that at this time, a circuit breaker is needed. We need something to stop the cycle of increasing numbers of people infected and increasing deaths. And so we welcome the fact that steps are being taken, and how exactly those steps will be rolled out. I expect that you will hear more about that in the days to come.
There has been some concern expressed to me about the length of time it is taking the government to actually implement the measures, given the fact that we have the UK variant.
Well, David, my perspective is that, you know, the day will come when we do a full post-mortem, when we look at what has happened and when it has happened and so forth. We are where we are now, and we have to act now. We have to take steps now. And I know that a lot of people are still not on board or not understanding why we are moving to lockdown. But we have to, because if we have greater transmission of a more transmissible variant here, then it will mean to greater burden, not just for COVID-19. But remember, we are also suffering from dengue right now, increased numbers of dengue cases and increased deaths from dengue. And we're also looking at the fact that we have a high non-communicable disease burden, which stresses our country in normal times. And certainly at this time, we cannot afford to have increased loss of life due to those non-communicable diseases as well. So how we got here, yes, we could have done things differently. Yes, things could have been instituted earlier, and we would have loved that. But we are here, and now we have to pull together to get us out from this situation. What we want to see is clear metrics, clear measures that can be evaluated, that will decide when we are, you know, able to move from a less, from a more restricted phase to a less restricted phase. So we don't want to just say, okay, we're going to put this in for 5 days, 10 days, 14 days, whatever, and then not know if we have had success. So we're calling now for greater quality of data and surveillance data in every intervention that we put in, so that we can know if it's effective or not, and whether or not we should pull back or continue or move forward in our measures and the stringency of those measures.
One of the other people I'd asked to join me this morning is Ed Clark from the Barbados Private Sector Association. He's just joined me here. On this point, Ed, of the lockdown, you are quoted today in the newspaper as having a completely different position from the, that which is held here by the president of BAMP.
Morning, David. Morning, Dr. Williams. Morning. David, our position in private sector is that we do not see a need for a lockdown, but we will support government in the efforts to try and control the virus. And this decision has been made. And once it has been made, we will continue to work with government and the medical profession to try and do what needs to be done. Our recommendations, we made a number of recommendations to government over the last week. And some of them have been taken up. Obviously, they felt that those weren't going to be enough. We strongly believe that much more had to be done at the borders, and they have actually done something about it. And we also believe that the protocols had to be enforced. And there's still too much abuse of the protocols around Barbados. And the issue in Barbados is not the business houses and not the supermarkets and so on that's creating the virus spread. The business in Barbados is creating virus spread in the communities. So our position is we have done everything we can possible and continue to do that in the business sector. And the issue of policing and enforcing the use of masks should have been done, and it is now being done. And enforcing people in crowds in rural area and urban collection points to wear masks, and those are some of the things that we wanted to see done better.
Obviously, as an alternative to a lockdown.
Yes, I don't think a lockdown was necessary, but we will support it. The business sector will support the government in its decision, and we continue to work with government and the officials to try and ensure this virus doesn't spread any further. One of the other things was that the government has recommended is the shortening of hours and so on. We don't believe that is something that is going to assist really and truly opening the hours shorter and the banks shorter hours. But we understand the government's position. They have taken the medical advice, and the business sector will do what needs to be done. Our position was based on the fallout effect of closing again. We do not know. The government has said that they will close down for 2 weeks period, and at the end of the 2 weeks, everyone is assuming that we are going to reopen. But there must be set criteria on what deems a position of reopening or not opening again at that time. And we are awaiting that sort of measurement criteria that you can measure to say we have achieved success in 2 weeks or we have not achieved success and we need to stay locked down again until we finish what we are doing. And that is something that we cannot afford as a country in the business sector. Too many small businesses have already collapsed. Many have never reopened from the last shutdown. And our fear is that this will continue to hamper and destroy the smaller business sector, especially in Barbados.
One person wrote to me and said, shops, vendors, and small retailers are closed, but the supermarkets are open. They feel that this is discriminatory and in favor of big business.
You want me to comment on that, David?
Yes.
I know you would have to ask the government why that was done. I can't answer that question, but there's no doubt that the issue of crowding in the small shops, the rum shops, and certainly the bars around Barbados was still occurring. The issue of supermarkets being open, everybody needs to purchase food. And we know what it's like when Barbadians can't get access to food from the last time around. So I don't know. You would have to ask the government why the small shops, rural shops, were closed. I can understand the rum shops, the bars, selling of alcohol and so on. But it is a matter of policing and controlling the crowding as far as they can gather. And the government deems that is an action that was necessary, and we will have to comply.
And we come back to you, Dr. Williams, your view on what you've heard from Ed Clark and from some others who are reported as saying they are opposed to the lockdown.
Well, Mr. Clark and I are in complete harmony in the point that he made, the second point that he made. You have to have metrics. You have to measure the success of any intervention that you take. And we, like him, are waiting to hear how those measurements will take place and what measures will be used to determine the criteria. At BAT, we have put forward a proposal to the government as to what metrics we would like to see measured. The final decisions are in the hands of those who govern, just like the final decisions as to which measures and which specific measures are taken are in the hands of those who govern. But in terms of, we just needed to apply stricter guidelines and so forth. The issue is that the COVID monitoring unit and whatever team, whether you use the police or whatever, cannot be everywhere at every time to ensure that compliance is reached within businesses, within whatever. And I agree with him. It is wherever people gather. But if we look at what is being done even in other countries and in other regions, wherever people gather, so whether they're congregating in a shop, in a business, in whatever, in communities, that's why the stay-at-home measures as well as the restrictions on gathering and the restrictions on movement work together. And you only get to this stage where you actually pull back, right? Where you pull back on that level of activity to this stage, then you are very concerned that the transmission rate is going to outstrip your resources. So when you're very concerned that you're going to outstrip resources, you have to take harsher measures. When you realize that your numbers and your transmission rates are decreasing and your resources are more available, then you can pull back and allow greater economic activity and greater measures for congregating. The exact measures, as I said, I am sure that they have not decided that these are all or these are the final measures, or even some of these may be finessed over the days to come. But I think that some measure of greater restriction of movement, gathering, and encouraging, especially the vulnerable and those who are elderly, to stay at home, that these are essential components. And the government is doing it in order to also find where all the people who are sick are. And that's a key component. We're not just locking down in a vacuum, but we recognize that we're not finding all of the people who are sick, and a lot of people aren't coming forward. And so they want a period where they can go out and actually find the sick, test them, decide how much the burden of COVID-19 really is in the community. And if you remember, David, in our earlier recommendations, we had asked for that earlier. We had asked for a sentinel surveillance to be set up on a wider scale, right? And we had actually recommended certain regions of the country, particularly those where the tourists are, be where you do wide-scale testing so that you would know what the burden is in that community. And that would have given us an idea for the country. That didn't happen then. It's happening now. Let's roll with what we have and hope that the metrics are put in place so that we can know how long we have to stay in this. is a policy decision. So it would have to be a policy, I'm assuming, guided by the Prime Minister and the Ministry of Health and Wellness as to what we're going to look at to decide, you know, what are our resources in country, what is the level of use of those resources, and what is the burden of disease in our community. Those are the kinds of things that you want to look at. And I'm sure that they will also get expert assistance in making those determinations.
The timing of the announcement that we have the UK variant, what are your thoughts on that?
Many weeks ago, we suspected we had the UK variant. It has now been confirmed. I think that that puts a level of urgency into whatever measures you have. And let us look, as I said, not bury our heads in the sand. Let's look at what's happening in the UK, right? Now, at first they said the UK variant wasn't, it was still going to respond to vaccination, and therefore it wasn't to be worried about. It was just more transmissible. But more transmissible translates to more deaths because you have a greater burden of disease and greater numbers unable to access care in a timely manner. So although it may not cause you to actually demise in a quicker manner, more people requiring more care at a higher level means more deaths will happen. So that's why there's a sense of urgency that is needed. And, you know, let's not forget that there are other variants out there also. And we're still watching and waiting to see how these variants will respond to the vaccines and if vaccines need to be tweaked. At present, we don't think so for the UK variant, but we're watching the South African and the Brazilian variants, which have more mutations than the UK variant, and looking to see how they will be responding if the vaccines need to be tweaked. Variation and mutation in viruses is a common thing. It's what happens in influenza year after year, and that's why you have to get a flu jab year after year because of the mutations that occur. We do not know what the cycle of mutation is for SARS-CoV-2, whether it is a year, 6 months, whatever, but we're looking and seeing that it is showing mutations at a rather rapid rate. So it's something to be observed and watched. And nobody has a textbook on COVID-19. Nobody knows exactly how it's going to go. I think Joyce St. John, the head of CARPA and former CMO of Barbados, said it best. We're dealing with a very, very crafty enemy. A very, very crafty enemy, an unseen and crafty enemy, and therefore we cannot take chances with the population.
From BAMF's perspective, how much pressure would you say has been placed on our system? Because one of the biggest challenges with COVID has been the fact that it has overwhelmed other health systems.
The biggest pressure that we have is for human resources, experts in various areas. We need to all pull together and look at what expertise is available here and maximize the use of our human resources. The other place that we are feeling a lot of pressure is in NCD care. And because, of course, you only have so many physical resources. So if lots of things are needed to manage people down at Harrison's Point, then that's going to take away from some of the resources available at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. And so we have to balance that very carefully so that one place does not, or one institution does not suffer on account of having to deal with other things. And the same thing with even private office and polyclinics, availability of medications, all of these things come into play. And that's what puts stress on the system when people can't access what they're accustomed to getting. And so we have to watch it very carefully because as an island, we don't have unlimited resources. We don't have unlimited money to buy things, you know, willy-nilly. So we have to keep, we can't like bigger countries bring in something from another region. If we don't have it, we don't have it. You understand? Until it can be imported again. And so we don't want to come into a situation where we run down our resources so far that then we're making decisions about who gets to live and who doesn't.
Ed Clark from the private sector, and how do you see the specific challenges that business people have been facing in this environment? Quite a number of them have been shutting and reopening.